Good morning, Kirkland Life Church family. We're so glad that you could join us here this Sunday morning, and we are so thrilled that you're able to be with us. Maybe not in person in our building like we're used to, but we can still gather, and this is a great opportunity to remind ourselves that church was never about a building. It was always about a people. And so we're just really excited for this new opportunity that's before us, and let's go to the Lord in prayer right now as we just get ready to do this incredibly new thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that lies before us. God, we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, this chance, Lord, for, to deal with these trials and these tribulations. Lord, we know that they're on purpose and for a purpose. And in the midst of all of this, you can continue to use your people, that you can continue to speak into the lives of people. God, we thank you for this reminder that church was never about a building. And so, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us, that you would guide us in all that we say and do, and that, Lord, this time that we spend together, Lord, even in a digital format, Lord, would be fruitful and that it would be God-honoring in everything that we say and everything that we do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're so glad that you guys are with us. Pastor John here, Pastor Jill here, coming to you guys live from our dining room table, a little bit different than our pulpit at the church, but this is a new way of doing a couple things as we're all navigating through this season. And so with that, we do have a couple of announcements that we'd like to share with you guys. As you guys are obviously aware, a lot of the things that are going on, that all of the gatherings at the church are suspended until further notice. We'll figure all of that out as we get the information, and we'll make that available to you on Facebook Live, and we'll continue to make that available on social media platforms and emails and text messages to help you guys know what we're doing and how we're doing it. And so with that, we do have a couple of great opportunities that we're going to share with you, or Jill's going to share with you, as it relates to us continuing to connect over these next few months.
One of the ways that we want to resource people while we're home and with our kids, or home and having more time on our hands, is through a program called Right Now Media. And Kirkland Life Church has subscribed to Right Now Media. And even right now, as you're watching this, you'll be receiving an email about how to sign up for Right Now Media. So check out this video, and then we'll explain a little bit more afterwards. So as you saw from that video, you'll get to learn from people like Francis Chan, Phil Vischer from VeggieTales. You can go into each book of the Bible. There's things just for kids, for marriage, for parenting. There's something for everyone. So we hope that you'll tap into that resource that we have for you. If you need help setting it up, please reach out to Pastor John or myself. Or if you did not receive an email, also reach out to us. That email should be in your inbox right now as we speak. And we're so excited about all the learning that can take place and all the time spent with Jesus that can take place through Right Now Media.
Yeah, it's been described as a Christian Netflix, as a resource for you to be able to just sit and relax and to just consume biblical content. And so if you can operate Netflix, you can operate this platform. There's an app. You have it available on your phone, on your tablets, your computer, on your smart devices, on your TVs. And so there's lots of different ways to consume this incredible content that's being put out by some of the biggest names out there in Christianity. So really exciting opportunity. We're really happy to share it with you guys.
Another way we want to resource your kids is through a Facebook group that we're creating on our Kirkland Life Church page. So you'll receive, if you are a parent of a school-age child, you'll receive an invite to that from me this afternoon. And on that platform, we'll do weekly Bible memory verses and have some great content for your kids. There are packets that went out in the actual mail on Friday, and you'll receive those with some things for your kids. Also coming up, we have a prayer meeting scheduled, not in person, but over a platform called Zoom. So you'll also receive an invitation to that in the comments, but then also through your email. So 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we're asking everyone to log on, and we'll have a prayer meeting, a virtual prayer meeting together.
Yeah, Zoom is a video conference platform that allows you to see us, allows us to see you, and you can hear us and we can hear you. It's the best way that we can connect without actually being in the same room. And so it's a really simple app that you can download. The instructions and everything will be right in there. It's a free account to set up. You don't have to purchase anything. It's all free of charge. And if you do have any issues with it, feel free to reach out to us, and we'll be happy to walk you through those steps.
Zoom is the same platform we were using for our Wednesday night Bible study. Yeah. So if you were logging on for our Wednesday night Bible study, then that's the same app for that. So again, any issues, feel free to contact us. Lastly, we wanted to touch base about offering. And if you have an offering that you would like to mail in, you can mail that in to the church at P.O. Box 256, Kirkland Life Church, P.O. Box 256, Clinton, New York, 13323. The other way to give is online. If you go to our website, there is a link for online giving, and you can use that platform to give as well.
Yeah, if you are mailing in a check, continue to make it out to Resurrection Assembly of God for bank purposes. Some really great news. We did just this last week, oddly enough, receive our incorporation documentation. And so we're going to begin that process of being able to switch all of that over. And hopefully by the next time we meet in person, we'll have this all taken care of. So for right now, if you are making out a check and you want to mail that in, again, P.O. Box 256, Clinton, New York, 13323, and make any of those out to Resurrection Assembly of God until further notice.
All right. And
yeah, so now we're going to move into a time of worship. And this might be a little unique for some of you, but what we're going to be doing is we're going to be joining a church in North Little Rock called First Assembly of God, First NLR. Pastor Rod Loy has been so gracious through all of this in resourcing people and helping people to do this part of worship. And they've put together some worship videos of their team worshiping together and have made those available to us. And so we're going to play those right now for you guys. We have four songs that we're going to be playing for you. And during this time, I encourage you to just crank up the volume on whatever device you're listening to. And feel free to worship without abandon. Maybe your kids might think you're a little funny, but they already think you're funny, let's be honest. So just spend some time in the presence of the Lord and allow these songs to just fill your heart. And as we turn our attention to the Lord in this time, let's not forget that it's all about Him. In whatever format it comes, all of this is by Jesus and for Jesus. And so let's join with First NLR Church as they lead us in worship. Jill, you want to pray for us as we go into this?
Yeah, so let's bow our hearts and our heads together and let's pray. God, I thank you that in the Spirit of God, there is no distance. And so, God, even though we're apart from each other physically, our hearts are joined together in you. Yes. God, I thank you for a hope that is steadfast and eternal. God, I thank you that we stand on a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ, and it does not move. God, we thank you that you don't change like shifting shadows. You are the same yesterday, today, and you'll be the same tomorrow. And so, God, we put our hope, we put our trust in you. Lord, I pray that as we enter this time of worship and hearing the word, that God, we would sense and know that your presence is with us. God, I pray that you would supernaturally speak to each and every person. God, I pray for every child, teenager, every adult. God, I pray that your Spirit would minister. God, you would do what you're famous for doing, and that's being near to your people, leading and guiding us.
Yes.
God, I pray for spiritual wisdom and understanding in these months to come. God, I pray that you would open doors for us to minister to our neighbors and to people around us. God, I pray that you would be with us in these next moments as we worship. Thank you for all the ways that you have provided thus far. God, we trust in you. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's worship God together.
Amen and amen. It might have been a unique experience for you guys, but I encourage you to trust in the fact that the same God that we worship in person in the sanctuary is the same God that it's in the room where you're at right now, speaking to your heart and leading you and guiding you. And so as we transition now into the preaching of the word, God is good. And all the time. I'm just going to assume that you guys played along with me. Welcome to Kirkland Life Church Online. And we're so glad that you're joined us today. My name is Pastor John, and we are thrilled to be a part of your journey with you as we go through this next stage of our lives, as we're going through this process. And so this morning, we're going to go right into the Word of God and spend our time there for a little while. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that lies before us. God, we thank you, Lord, that this doesn't surprise you. God, that what we're doing today is not something that you didn't have on your radar, something that you didn't already know, something that you didn't already have a plan for. And so, God, I thank you that in our uncertainty, you are sure. And so, God, I pray as we spend some time looking into your word and how it informs our today and how we operate and live our lives, God, I pray that your strength would be with us, and Lord, that you would bless us. Lord, I thank you that there is no distance in the realm of your kingdom. And that, God, you don't have to have your people all in the same room in order for you to speak. But, God, you are able to speak in however we need it to be done at any given time. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we commit this time in your hands. And I pray that you would bless our hearts to receive, our ears to hear, and our hearts to comprehend all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. We are continuing our series talking about what it means to have healthy minds. We've been going through, and we believe here at Kirkland Life Church, that God is calling us to be healthy people in mind, body, and spirit. And that he's called us to be in a healthy church, to renew a healthy reputation of our local church. And so as we've been going through this series, it's so incredible to see what God has done in the midst of all of this, that this is an outline that we've had for months. And the fact that last week we talked about what it meant to apply our knowledge in the form of wisdom and having godly wisdom as we're making decisions, and how that informs our decision-making process, and what a timely message with everything that's going on. And wisdom is so necessary right now in this stage in our lives. And it was already on the docket for us to talk about our conversation today as we open the Word of God, as we look as it relates to having healthy emotions. Have you ever had a moment where you've laughed way too hard at something? Where somebody said something funny, but your reaction was disproportionate to how funny it actually was? I love watching outtake reels on movies where the actors get the giggles, where they're in a serious scene and one of them just begins to crack and they begin to start uncontrollably laughing and they can't figure out how to just shut it off for a minute. They let their emotions dictate the situation, and the results in those videos, it's often funny. They're often having a disproportionate, irrational reaction to what is happening. But what does that look like when it's not funny? What does that mean in our own lives? I don't know about you, but there have often been times where I've responded to a situation recklessly, emotionally. And after the fact, I ask myself, what in the world was I thinking? What in the world was I processing in my mind to try to make sense of what is going on in the situation in front of me? And the simple answer is this: you weren't. I wasn't. We're responding emotionally. This can manifest itself in a multitude of different ways. We often have outbursts of anger where something triggers something in our minds and we react with anger. And after we've calmed down and after we've had some time to think about it, we're like, why was I so angry? What was I thinking about? And, well, I wasn't. Outbursts of anger, laughter, uncontrollable sadness, disgust, fear. Times that we look at the situation in front of us and we react emotionally out of fear. What we're experiencing is often referred to in psychology as an amygdala hijacking. When your senses take something in, that information is sent to your brain and it's sent to one of two places. Well, it's actually sent to both places. It's sent to your cortex, where you filter things intellectually, where you're able to make informed decisions. And then there's a part of your brain that this information is sent, called the amygdala, which filters things emotionally. And during an amygdala hijacking, your amygdala is making a quick assessment and determines it requires an immediate response and blocks your cortex because it's taking too long to respond. It's this whole idea of fight or flight, and that emotional part of your brain, that amygdala, is saying, I need to react in this situation immediately because the thinking part of my brain is taking too long to respond. And often this generates an unthinking response. Outbursts of anger, bits of laughter, sadness, grief, and fear. The amazing thing is that even psychology agrees that you can do something to prevent this by strengthening what's called your emotional intelligence. The funny thing is the Bible has been talking about this a lot longer than psychology discovered it. This morning, I want us to help gain a better biblical understanding of the part of our lives which seems to hijack so much of our lives and seems to be a great source of frustration for many people. We are called to interact with our God and in our world. And the Bible is filled with scriptures that warn us to guard our hearts against emotions such as fear, worry, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, jealousy, grief, and guilt. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 states, "May God himself, the God of peace, may he sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." What God is saying here is he wants to sanctify you through and through. The prayer that Paul had for the Thessalonican church was that he wouldn't just save your spirit. He wouldn't just sanctify your spirit. That he wouldn't just sanctify your body through healing and through divine intervention, but that he would also sanctify your soul, your heart, your mind, and that it would be kept blameless. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The beginning of that verse is talking about bringing everything to the Lord in prayer, that when we don't know what to do, when we don't have the answers, not to worry about things, but to pray. And when we do that, all understanding becomes transcendent. And that understanding that comes from the peace of God, it guards our hearts, but not only that, but it guards our minds in Christ Jesus. What the Bible is saying is that you can control your emotions. You see, God sanctifies our spirits, but he also sanctifies our bodies, as we talked about in the weeks prior. But he also sanctifies our minds. He sets us apart, spirit, body, and mind. And his goal is to redeem not just your spirit, but God has a plan for your body. And he has a plan for your mind, that it can and is redeemed because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's a long portion of scripture here, and forgive me as we read it, but I think it illustrates so incredibly this dichotomy that we have of living in our old nature and having a new nature, that this idea of living in a fallen world is no longer something that we're bound to, but we're bound now to Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Paul, talking to the church in Ephesus, says, "I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." Gentiles being anybody that's not Jewish. "In the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." That's that fallen nature that we've all had prior to coming to know Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. What are these verses telling us? These verses are telling us that we no longer have to be bound by our emotions, by our thought processes. We don't have to be bound to be reacting emotionally as the rest of the world can and does. But now, because of what Jesus Christ did in our lives, we have the ability, we have the mandate, we have the opportunity to not be controlled by those things in our former way of life. But now, turning our lives over to Jesus Christ, we have the ability to put on the new self, created to be like God. What these verses are telling us that we need to and can better understand and control our emotions. The first thing we need to recognize is that in verse 24, it says, "And to put on the new self created to be like God." We need to recognize that our emotions come from God because we are created in God's image. We are created to be like God. When we look in the Garden of Eden, when we look in the book of Genesis, as humanity was being created, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so when we see the different parts of who we are in the pre-fallen world, we recognize that Adam and Eve had emotions. Why? Because God had emotions. Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us make mankind in our image." And if we are created in the image of God, we recognize that God has emotions. As we read through the Word of God, there are multiple places where this is recounted. John 3:16 tells us that God loves. Psalm 11:5 tells us that God hates. In Genesis 19:16, it tells us that God has compassion. In Genesis 6:6, it tells us how God grieves. In Nehemiah 8:10, it talks about how God expresses joy. And in Isaiah 62:5, it tells us how God rejoices. Now, God doesn't sin. He doesn't make mistakes. He's not flawed. And so for God to exhibit and to have all of these emotions, then by nature, emotions cannot be evil. The problem comes in when in our fallen nature, when in our sinful selves, we begin to react to those emotions in a negative way that becomes sin. But we have to recognize that the emotions that are within us, it's not all a work of the devil. That the emotions that we have help us react and respond to the world around us in a creative and incredible way in likeness to our God. And so if God has emotions and he's the one that gave them to us, then emotions in and of themselves are not evil. When humanity was created in the Garden of Eden, we were created with emotions. Our emotions were corrupted in the same way that our spirit was corrupted. In the same way that our bodies, as a result of sin, were corrupted. So too were our emotions and the way that we thought about things and that sinful nature that's within us. So too was that corrupted by sin. Our God is emotional, and so are we. There is a reason why God has given us emotions, but they were not intended as something that should have power over us, an unstoppable, uncontrollable force that causes us to react without thinking. That's not what God called us to. We, as the Word of God in multiple places tells us, we should be in control over them. We should exercise this thing called self-control. In places like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "Be angry, yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger." You see, this verse is a perfect case study in the idea that God doesn't say, don't be angry. It's okay to be angry. We are allowed to be angry. That emotion that's within us when injustice happens or when pain happens or when something that is outside of our control happens. That there is a very natural human response to anger, and that anger in and of itself is not evil. But what the verse is saying is that in your angry, while you're angry, be angry, yet do not sin. See, the Bible won't call us to do something that's impossible without the help of the Lord. And so if God says that I can be angry and that it is possible for me not to sin, then that means that it is possible for me to be angry, yet not sin. This ought to give the church hope. This ought to give you hope. It gives me hope. To recognize that my emotions can be controlled. If our emotions have been corrupted by sin, then that means that they can also be redeemed. When we look at our fallen nature, we recognize that multiple parts of who I am have been corrupted as a result of sin. My spirit, I now have a sinful nature that is at war with God. I have a sinful nature that is pulling my heart away from the Lord. But thanks be to God, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I can have a restored relationship with God, and I no longer have to be controlled by that sinful nature. Because of sin, my mortal body is wasting away. By the sweat of my brow and the work of my back, do I have to toil the ground? Well, all right, maybe not actually toil the ground. I'm not a farmer. Tim Clark, you good? All right, we're good. But by the sweat of our brow, we have to work. And that's a consequence of the fall. That when humanity fell, there is a curse that was placed upon our mortal coils, this body that we have, that can and will be redeemed. And so if it's true about our spirit and it's true about our bodies, then what makes us think that it's not also true about our minds? Through the Spirit, we can have self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." There is no opportunity in your life that when you react in an emotional way, that God hasn't made a way for you to get through that temptation without walking the path of sin. See, that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation to sin has overtaken you except what's common. Our emotions are common. Our reactions are common. Jesus Christ himself was tempted in every way that we were. And we see in Scripture that there were times where Jesus laughed, where Jesus cried, where he was angry. Yet in all of those emotional responses to the world around him, he didn't sin, which means it's possible. Which means that through Jesus Christ, through God, he gives us a way out. That last part of verse 13 says, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That way out, oftentimes with our emotions, is by the Spirit of God that lives within us, that gives us the ability to have control over this uncontrollable force within us that we call emotions. We get so caught up in them and we get so tied down by them and we allow them to dictate our lives. And we're like, oh, I'm just reacting the way that my body. No, we don't have to do that. By the Spirit of God, he has given us a way out so that no temptation that comes into your life, which includes your emotions, that no temptation forces you to sin. You have a way out. But we have a choice. You see, we have to understand that emotions can be controlled. But we also must recognize that our emotions must be controlled. You see, if left unchecked, emotions can force us to believe a lie that the enemy tells us. It's in this moment that we need to check our emotions and hold it to the truth of God's word. There is a right way and a wrong way to deal with your emotions. They are never an excuse to sin. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And as a result, we recognize that in and of ourselves and by the power of God within us, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit at work within us, that we must control our emotions. It's a big ask. It's a big thing that God is calling us to do. But like we said before, God will not call you to do something that in his strength, it's impossible. In our own strength, it certainly is. I don't know about you, but there are times in my own life where I've tried to get in control of my emotions. I've tried to just try harder, and it didn't work. But the more I fall in love with Jesus and the closer to him that I draw, the more in tune with his Spirit within me that I tap into through reading the Word of God, by spending time in prayer and allowing the Spirit of God to give me other options in my life, I begin to exercise self-control. You see, it's not always going to happen overnight. It's like a muscle. I don't just go to the gym and work out as hard as I can one day and say, boom, all right, I'm a bodybuilder. It doesn't work that way. It's a process. It's something that I have to put into my routine. And the fallacy that we've believed is that our emotions are beyond that kind of control. And the Word of God is clear that we can guard our hearts. And that when everything flows out of our hearts, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. It's from our heart that we believe. It's with our heart that we have faith. It's with our heart that we make these decisions in our lives to either honor God or not. So how can we control our emotions? I want to give you guys three practical steps, especially in this time and this day and age that we're living in, things that you can actually put into practice even today, that when your emotions come into play, you need to deal with them biblically. And so the first thing that the Word of God tells us as it relates to our emotions, one of the steps, and I think the most important one, is to pause. There's something so supernatural about this idea of Sabbath. There's something so supernatural about this opportunity for us to just slow down our lives for a little while and to pause. Because when we do that, it begins to slow our thinking. It begins to slow our perspective. It begins to give the rational part of my thinking an opportunity to catch up with the emotional part of my thinking so that together my mind can make informed decisions. We need to allow our wisdom and our intellect a moment to catch up with our emotions. And so slowing down is necessary if we want to slow down the snowball effect that happens when our emotions run wild. James chapter 1 verse 19 illustrates this when James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry." What he's saying is we ought to be quicker to hear what people are saying. We have to be quicker to hear what God is saying to us and slower to speak, slower to react, slower to allow our anger to just run wild. When we pause, we give the rest of our rational thinking and we give our understanding to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us a chance to catch up instead of just reacting to the situations around us. So the first thing that we need to do is pause. This is an incredible opportunity that lies before you as schools are shut down and workplaces are shutting down and things are in flux right now. This is a great opportunity for us to pause as a nation, as a church, as a family, as an individual, to pause and spend time and say, "God, what is it that you want to say to me in this time?" And not allow my emotions to dictate how I'm going to react in these situations, but to trust God and to pause and hear what the Spirit of God would say. After we pause, the next thing that we need to do is we need to compare. You see, a lot of times this has a negative connotation where in our lives we begin to compare ourselves to the person down the street, or we begin to compare ourselves to other people that are less spiritual than we are. Well, I'm not as bad as that person, and so I must be okay. A lot of times comparison gets us in a lot of trouble. But it all depends on what you're comparing to. When we pause, it is an opportunity for us to begin to compare what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and begin to hold it to the truth of God's word. Is what I'm feeling in line with Scripture? I need to begin to compare what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, the decisions that I'm making, and hold it to the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow." Catch this. "And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." You see, the word of God has the ability to penetrate our hearts in such a way that we don't even understand. That the word of God can reveal to us the areas in our lives where we have not allowed our thoughts, the attitudes of our heart, to catch up to the Spirit of God. And what God is saying is pause and compare what you're dealing with to the truth that I've laid out in Scripture, to the truth that I have deposited in your heart in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that word that is in you has the ability to judge the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. So after we pause and after we compare and we recognize that this desperately wicked, sinful nature within me is at war with God, but now I'm not going to compare myself to the world, but I'm going to compare myself to what the Word of God has to say in my life, now I have to choose. To recognize, first of all, that you have a choice. Deuteronomy 30:19. Says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live." We have an opportunity before us every single day, and we have a choice with what we're going to do with the world around us. We have a choice in how we're going to honor God with our bodies. We have a choice with how we are going to live for the Lord and allow our spirits to come alive in Christ. And we have a choice to set our minds on the things of God or the things of this world. We have a choice to set our minds on God's ways or my own selfish desires. I have a choice on whether or not I'm going to allow my emotions to dictate my life, or if I'm going to hold them to the Word of God and I'm going to choose to honor God with my emotions. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." That means that we have the choice to not allow our thoughts to just have free rein in our minds. It's times like this that I'm so earnestly reminded of that fact, that my mind can begin to snowball and begin to go down these what-if scenarios and begin to doubt God. But I need to take every thought captive and I need to hold it to obey Christ. I need to take my thoughts and say, "God, not my will, but yours be done. I trust in your goodness. I believe that you are good all of the time, and all the time you're good, and I trust in you, Lord." That's a choice that I get to make. We have to make a conscious choice of what we will do, not just react. In a fallen world, there will always be people in situations which provoke us. I cannot always change people, but I can change my reactions to them. I can't always change my situation, but I can change how I react to them. If I always react automatically, then other people and situations are what's controlling my life. I can decide to keep changing my reactions until new habits develop. I can choose to honor the scriptural principle of death to self, of laying down one's rights like Jesus did, and to recognize that it's important and that it is a choice that only you can make. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Philippians 4:8-9 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." And then here's the great part: "And the God of peace will be with you." Friends, what we set our minds on matters. It's important. What we allow to have free rein in our thinking, it matters. And we have a choice. We can either sow into the chaos and the fear and the anger and the depression and the anxiety and the worry that is the pattern of this world, or we can set our minds on things above. Or we can set our minds on things that are right and true and honorable and excellent. Church, we serve an excellent God. Isn't it awesome that we do not have to be victims of our emotions? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be healthy, we can be redeemed, we can be transformed by our minds being made new. As we are all facing a myriad of emotions in these times, I encourage you to follow those three steps: to pause, to compare, and to choose this day whom you will serve. To pray as earnestly for God to redeem your emotions as you do for him to transform your spirit and your body. We can choose. So this morning, I encourage you to choose life. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity before us to choose life and death. God, when given those two options, Lord, it seems silly that we would choose anything other than the life that you have for us. But God, I pray, Lord, that as our emotions begin to try to pull us astray, as our thoughts begin to try to pull us astray, as the world and the patterns of this world try to pull us astray, God, I pray that we would be steadfast in our understanding and our knowledge that you can and will redeem our emotions, that you've given us the ability to, Lord, to see right and wrong, to see the truth and the lie, that we can compare them to something that is higher than our own understanding, and that, God, we have a choice that lies before us. God, I pray, Lord, for every person within the sound of my voice, God, that they would choose you this morning, that, God, they would choose to lean into your understanding, that they would choose life in dire situations, that, God, they would choose to honor you with their lives. Father, I pray Lord, as we adjust to this new way of doing things for however long this ends up being, Lord, that no matter what gets thrown our way, we would recognize that we have a choice to honor you in it. That God, you're good all of the time. And Lord, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of coronavirus, in the midst of uncertainty, all the time, you are good. Father, we thank you for this time together. And God, I pray, Lord, that as you bind our hearts together, Lord, that you would continue to speak life over this nation, that you would continue to speak life over our church, that you would continue to speak life over every single one of us. And God, we would honor you with everything that we say and everything that we do to the glory of God in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Friends, church is not over. You have maybe 3 months' supply of food and groceries. I encourage you to go to the refrigerator right now and get a snack. Get some refreshments, get something to drink. This is an opportunity for us to continue to come together and to bind our hearts together around our love for each other and our love for God. As a result of this preaching this morning, we're going to be taking this video that we've aired live here on Facebook, and we're going to be posting it on a YouTube link that will be made available. You can click on it from either our Facebook page. We're going to be emailing those out to those that we have emails for. If you'd like to share it in any capacity, feel free to do so. The audio recording of everything that we just talked about is going to be available on podcasts. It'll also be available on our church website at www.resurrectionag.com. There's a little tab that says messages, and you can pull up an archive of all of the messages that we've been doing on Sunday mornings for quite some time. Want to encourage you to find that email from Right Now Media and engage in this incredible opportunity for you to take this time and to not waste it, but to redeem this time to bring glory and honor to God as you consume biblical content that can change your life and change your outlook in a time when things are really challenging. Want to remind you again that also this Wednesday, we're at 7 o'clock, we're going to be having a prayer Zoom call. The link to that will be made available here in the chat on Facebook Live, and we'll be making that available on email and on our Facebook page. So you can join in and have some FaceTime with us, and we can spend some time praying for each other and believing with each other and equipping one another. Guys, thank you so much for spending your morning with us. I know this might have been a little bit different, but maybe the chairs were just a little bit more comfortable than you're used to. Guys, we love you. God bless you. We're praying for you. If you need anything, me and Pastor Jill will be available to have conversations and to have one-on-ones to talk to you if you need that. We love you. We're praying for you. We're believing God for the best in and through this. God bless you and have a fantastic day.